Hello to our listeners and our viewers. We are live now. And actually, the cool thing is, if you do leave any comments, we can see them because they'll show up on our screen. So if you want to leave us any comments or ask us any questions or anything, you can do that. And we will answer them if we have time or if we have the answers. So I will introduce myself real quick. I'm Jennifer Hill. And I'm one of the hosts of This Is Skeleton Shelter, and we are talking about domestic violence and all the things that come with it. And this is based on personal experience, based on, you know, a lifelong time of learning how to get past certain things and become a thriver and survivor. And I'm also a musician and singer, songwriter, and live in the world of being a woman in music, which is also another abusive place. This is my mother from another mother, Patty Rothberg, and you tell them about yourself.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to address, our name, Skeleton Shelter, and where it comes from. When I met my first and only abusive, partner, they said something that most normal people would run screaming for the hills. He said, "Will you stay with me if I have to go to jail?" And it just seemed like a television show remark. I later, you know, eventually he was sort of like getting me ready to come over, and he lied and said that he was taking care of an abused, someone that was abused by their family. But as things unraveled, it turned out that he was actually the abuser, and that was his ex-wife. So it was pretty intense. I was next in line, and I somehow got out. I used a lot of fancy footwork. And I would like to take my experience and just help, you know, go back to my 18-year-old self if I could ever do that. I know that I can't, because like Jen said, the trauma that that results from something like that is literally lifelong. You deal with, you know, so it has been for me. Like, for example, we rode the same train line. In Jen's case, I guess he lives close, like driving distance away. I'm not going to give anything away. And I'm not giving any identities away. But if anybody wants to volunteer their identities, that's fine as well. I'm Patty Rothberg. I mean, my whole album was a cry for help. And I mean, you're not going to get up on stage and be like, "Help!" I mean, maybe you do. Maybe I should have. But instead, I sort of veiled it in pretty poetry and, you know, influences. And then I ended up, you know, now I'm a rock star. But I do consider a huge portion of my identity as a survivor, and my desire is to help other people.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't go away. My story is a little complicated, but I can just tell you that there's a couple incidences that have shaped my life. And the first started that when I was 12 years old or 13 years old, I was shot by a classmate. And that was because I broke up with him. And I had somehow bruised, you know, his ego. And so the next time that my friends and I were hanging out, he decided to bring a gun with him and decided to shoot me in my femoral artery. Luckily, he was a little too far away. They say a hair's width saved my life. Otherwise, I would have just been gone right there in front of everyone. And my mistake was only that I had bruised the ego of some guy that couldn't take it. And from there, I had other things that happened to me because it sort of opened me up to always being polite and nice to people that I probably shouldn't be polite and nice to. Because I feared retaliation if I like said things to people. And that ended up with me, you know, being in a date rape situation with someone who I thought was a friend. And then eventually leading me to when I was in my, I was about 29. And I thought I was with the love of my life. I had been raising his kids. He raised my daughter since she was little. And, we were engaged, and I just was having like horrible nightmares because he was always controlling me. Like I would go and play a show and I would see him talking to people and telling them to stay away from me and like, you know, isolating me from people. And I was starting to get cold feet. So I gave back the ring and he decided to come back to my house with a loaded gun and hold me at gunpoint for hours. So that's the short part of my story. There's more to it. And we're going to talk about our stories like throughout all of this stuff, because there's so many different avenues that happen when you are abused this way. Like different things happen to you in your life and different things happen to your brain and like to who you are from these things happening. So that's why I want to make sure that I can bring awareness for people who also have been abused in a way that it isn't physical, because we didn't talk about that for a long time. And the bruises that are not in front of people a lot of times are worse because you're actually being brainwashed against your own self, like against who you used to be. I know, right? That's why we're like, how long is this podcast? Because we can talk about this stuff forever.
It's true, we could. Right, I was surprised at what angle I took, because there's so many different things that I could talk about with this person and how it changed me forever. I am who I am because of this person. I know this. I've come to terms with it. I feel like I'm on the run still, technically, because, and I think a lot of people who ended up in, even if you're in a week-long relationship, let's say you met on Tinder and you're kind of liking this person, and then they slap you, or they get you home, or they rape you, God forbid, or something horrible happens. You're a victim, and if you survive, because a lot of people don't. A lot of people end up a statistic, which is most horrendous, but very true. And then I totally forgot my point because I was thinking about statistics and.
Well, a lot of people end up a victim instead of being able, I think that's what you're talking about, instead of being able to pull themselves out of this because of all the things that kind of come on top of you, right? From like this happening.
Right. And also it's harder and harder to find someone that even closely matches what you think is a story. Like I always said to myself, I don't want to meet somebody on a website and just like scramble to make it kind of work. Like, oh, he likes scrambled eggs, so do I. Let's make a life together, you know? I mean, that's not really what I had in mind. And, you know, I grew up with a very traditional family, you know, really kind of very father knows best and like nice. I felt like I was watching what was happening to me on television. I was also being accused that, you can get out of this. And I would make any excuse. I was sort of stuck in this docudrama in between trying to get this girl to have more self-esteem so she would leave. I mean, it's so twisted because I wanted her to leave partly because I wanted to like fix him and have him for myself, even though I knew he was completely broken and that he had broken her. But I found that all out at the same time.
Yeah. Well,
you're so twisted. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, he pulled the veil over your eyes, and that's kind of what happens. And that's why I want to talk about a couple things where tonight our main topic is coercive control, narcissistic abuse, and emotional abuse, right? Which is what happened to you in order for you not to think that he was actually the one abusing that person, because he had to change your like perception of reality for you to even go along with that, you know? So there's a couple of things that Patty and I were talking about today, and I'd like to talk about a couple definitions that people have been hearing about a lot lately. There's a really awesome website that's called Flying Monkeys Denied, and you'll know why flying monkeys are denied once I tell you what they are. and there's a lot of good information about dealing with narcissistic and emotional abuse and the PTSD and CPTSD that happens from being abused in this way. So let's just talk about, first of all, those words that everybody likes to talk about. So we're going to go first with gaslighting, okay? Because gaslighting has become so in the public lately, and almost to the point where it's kind of causing a disservice to some of us who have been through this. So gaslighting is used in psychiatric and self-help social circles to describe when a person or peer group intentionally targets a victim for social abuse by lying to or about them and actively striving to deceive both the target and anyone willing to believe the propaganda spins and verbal distortions that the Machiavellian strategist, which is the narcissist, is choosing to claim at any random time or situational abuse allowing moment. This is like a much better term for people to understand. It's not like someone just came up with like a little fib or a little white lie. It is literally they're targeting a victim for social abuse so that you don't have anyone to run to. Okay. So, and we were also talking about this today, that the word gaslighting is from a pop cultural reference of a black and white film about a con man that tricked his love into believing that she was like crazy by constantly flickering the gas lights, right, that were in her mansion and hiding things on her. So that
I saw both versions.
Yeah. So she would think she was crazy. Most people, what are they going to do? Oh, I mean, that doesn't feel like abuse to most people. But when you're making someone go crazy, you know, that's...
Plus, he was her only go-to person. You know, your husband is supposed to protect you from the rest of the world. And I was always warned that the big bad world was worse than a husband. But then I learned that the husband can be worse than the big bad world.
Yeah. Well, and so what it also says is that by making a family member, child, or your romantic interest look absolutely untrustworthy psychologically, right? The abuser can assert their own social dominance into like any situation. Oh, she's crazy. Oh, she's crazy. Oh, that's because she's crazy. Believe me. So by making the target question their own sanity, the abuser ends up with total psychological, physical, and emotional control over their victim. And I know that because, like I was telling you, with what happened to me, is I was held at gunpoint, and then I was made to believe that it was my fault. It was my fault that I was held at gunpoint because I had taken some sort of manhood away from him by giving him back his engagement ring. And it's really funny to me because and I've said this many times, I was saying this earlier, if that person had given me my space to figure out my life and had actually just given me some space, I probably would have just taken the ring back and we would have gone back on our merry way. But, you know, that isn't how that person reacted. So instead, there's a knock on my door with someone with a loaded gun while my daughter's sleeping in the other room, you know, taking a bunch of pills, telling me that I'm going to watch them die and that I'm going to go with them while my daughter's sleeping in the other room. And then to turn that around on me and make me actually believe it was my fault. And I went back to that relationship for another 3 years. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't even understand. I remember that day thinking to myself, this is the end. Like, unlike the 13-year-old boy who just had a crush on me and shot me, this is someone who I've been with for like 7 years, who we are invested in each other. And like, we have a life together with kids. And I'm like, he is gonna be the one that kills me. And I don't know if it was the pills that saved me that night because he took a bunch of pills and I called his mom and I got him out of my place. But and then how long are you mad at yourself? Like, for how many years was I mad at myself that I actually went back after that? Like, how many red flags did I need to get, like a red flag thrown on top of me and like capture me and pull me away? Like, I mean, it was just ridiculous, but I was so brainwashed that I just believed that I was a bad person. I wasn't a strong enough woman. You know, I didn't stand by my man the way I was supposed to. And it really killed me. And I'm lucky that I have more inside me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here right now. And you and I wouldn't be friends. I would have never done Swan Day. I would have you know what I mean? Like, I would have never started anything if I just let that kill me. And
well, let me tell you, first of all, I'm a firm believer in synchronicity, which is events that happen, if not exactly at the same time or at the right time, but just an incredible, you get sort of this mind-blowing feeling that this is meant to be. And I met Jen. First, I saw her online. She was doing a sample with a girl on a... You were playing keyboard, and there was another Swan doing a demonstration for Swan Day. And my understanding of Swan Day was just any kind of woman is supported here. This is like a community of women. It had nothing to do with abuse or... But the thing is, statistically, women go through some kind of abuse, and a lot of times it's by their husband or their boyfriend of a date or whatever it is, you know. One in three women will experience some form of this kind of abuse in their life. That's like every other person watching this. That's you and me. That's society itself.
Yeah.
And speaking of not being here, I read that there's two kinds of felonies in a domestic violence situation. One of them is choking. Now, how are you supposed, let's say someone's choking you, they're trying to end your life. Are you supposed to phone the police at that time? I mean, you're not thinking straight at that moment, obviously. Plus, maybe you're just saying something very, very calm, but you just hit a button. Like let's say I said to you, Jen, you know, you played Swan Day and then you hit that sour note or whatever. And you never would because you're a goddess. But I'm just saying, like, let's say you said the wrong thing or... And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're being choked. And this is somebody who's never choked you before, who's never done that to you before. This is the first time. And so you're supposed to know that, okay, from this moment on until 5 years from now, I have exactly this much time for the statute of limitations to sit in a courtroom with this jerk, stare at him, and know that he's going to get a slap on the wrist, maybe a fine. And if he's not a celebrity, then no one's going to really care. And that's what we really are up against today.
Or he'll retaliate, and then you have to worry about that too, is the retaliation. And I mean, that's why for myself, I have so many like guards up and I protect myself and my family because I feel like there is a lurking predator and, you know, every once in a while it comes out. So now we're talking about abusers. So let's talk about what kind of personality usually these abusers are because we're hearing this word a lot. We're hearing narcissist a lot. And a lot of this all started narcissist and gaslighting. You know, not to get political, it's all started when Trump came into office because he was using those same tactics on the American public. And that is why many of us who have been through these situations were not for Trump because it was very triggering to watch a person like that every single day gaslight the American public to the point that they did, to the point of an insurrection. Okay, I'm not going to get political past that point. But that is the sort of tactic that happens with a narcissistic personality. And narcissistic personality disorder is so much different than being a narcissist. So I'm going to read what this says on here about it. It says, narcissistic personality disorder is one of the four types of personality disorders clinically defined in the DSM-MV. So people with narcissistic personality disorder are typically referred to in psychiatric and self-help circles as just narcissists. Individuals who meet diagnostic criteria for being considered NPD, which is narcissistic disorder, tend to score high in multiple areas of narcissistic behavior when and if they are scored on this diagnostic rubric. Okay, so while people can behave in narcissistic ways at any given time without meeting the criteria for the diagnosis, it's important to make a clear mental and logical academic distinction between a person who has displayed a lifetime of narcissistic traits, habits, thought patterns, and psychological traits that reflect narcissistic personality disorder, and a person who makes poor social choices or personal decisions on a random, occasional, or rare circumstance. Okay, so a narcissist does this all the time, someone who has NPD. There are people who are vain. There are people who act narcissistic once in a while. That is not a person who has this disorder. These people are the ultimate social competitors. They reflect pack mentality. They display aggression as both individuals and when they unite in mobs. They believe the world as they know it revolves around them. They tend to symptomatically behave in ways that are compulsively self-promoting, grandiose, illogical, irrational, egocentric. So let me just tell you, My ex one time pulled me downstairs and pulled out the Book of Dianetics and told me that he was never going to die, that he had read this book and he had gotten into somehow Dianetics with L. Ron Hubbard, which is actually where Scientology comes from, and that he was a different being and was never going to die because that was just the kind of person that he was. And I really believe that he believed that. There was a time where we were not together and I heard that he had changed his name to Dio, which actually means God. And I just don't understand it, but that is the kind of personality that you're dealing with. It's not normal. It's like, I'm never going to die. I am so much better than everyone else that I will always get on top, even, you know what I mean? And on top of that, they're also using this disorder in order to pull people down. So I'm looking right now where it says narcissistic. Okay, let's see. Okay, so the more narcissistic the person, the more they're likely to seek or win or beat others. So that means even when it comes to any sort of romantic situation. So that's narcissistic personality disorder. It goes to a different length. It's like, oh, Patty, I like Patty, but I don't want Patty to do this. So I'm going to systematically go behind her back and talk badly about her so that she won't get this particular part or she won't get this thing to work out in her favor. And then now these people won't like Patty anymore. That's kind of what it is.
But it's that actually happened to me. Somebody else, though.
Well, it's happened to me, too.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing, but they don't do it to people you don't care about it. They do it to, like, your family members who are now, like, are you mentally stable? Are you okay? They do it to your friends who are like, yeah, I don't think I want to hang out with you anymore. It seems like you're crazy. They do it to your entire support system. So you're left with nothing except for the thoughts now they want to fill your head with.
Yeah. You kind of have to have a script of sanity in your own mind at all times. I always say to, well, I said to Jen earlier, and I always say to myself that I'm ready for the trial that I'll never have, because my statute of limitations, which of course I didn't learn about until long after it was over, ended. So I think about, I don't think that there should be one, because I remember every single thing about that apartment. I remember the name of his weird roommate who didn't talk ever and had a briefcase and a big giant and whatever. I don't know. Like, I remember, I'm like, okay, maybe you think I'm sane. Part of it is proving your sanity.
Yeah, I know.
Because the burden of proof is always, this country is founded on the whole premise of innocent until proven guilty, right? So there you have this guilty dude with all the red flags sitting there in the courtroom. Everyone knows he did it, including him. I'm just saying him. It could be her, by the way. Everybody, yeah. I should say.
Yeah,
that's her easily.
Yeah, totally.
So let's be fair. It's like, first you have to prove your sanity, and then you have to, you have the burden to not only have experienced what this person put you through, but to sit there with them smugly being whatever the hell they are. I'm sorry. Can you say hell today?
Oh, yeah. We can do whatever we want on here.
I mean, the thing also about words, you know, I'm like right on the fence with the words thing, because I know sometimes, like, if I say, you know, that's gaslighting what you're doing, you know, somebody might say, oh, that's gaslighting, or, you know, they, because it's such a part of, it takes the actual weight out of what you're really experiencing. And there are only so many words in the language, you know, that we have to describe sanity. Plus, sanity is basically the equality, the rounded up equality of what other people consider to be sane.
Yeah, the perception of sanity. And yeah, and it always goes to the person who was abused. They have to prove that their mind is good enough to, I guess, that they perceived the abuse the right way. And then we go into, like, with Jennifer Doulos. I mean, that literally, okay, so you always hear it says the new Canaan mom, but she was living in Farmington, and, like, people that I know were music teachers to her kids. And, like, she kept telling the court, like, I'm afraid of this guy. He's going to do something to me. And even when she went missing, they tried to say, oh, she's a Gone Girl case. Oh, she's every single thing to not like say that more than likely, because all the statistics are pointing to it, her husband did something to her and she's gone and we can't find her anywhere. And she still hasn't been found. You know, like, we know that from all of the evidence that she's dead and that she's been disposed of. Her ex-husband killed himself. It's like all the proof afterwards, you know, never got to come out because they just kind of, it seems like, stopped. I'm not really sure, I can't say that, but it seems like they've stopped with some of this investigating. But it's like, how many times did she have to reach out to get protection from this man? And he had a lot of money. So after he was already in jail for her disappearance, he got out. And literally people in my neighborhood and where I live, because I looked it up and I only live about 3 miles from his house, he's a jogger. And people were seeing him out jogging. And it's like, how was that okay that this man is out jogging? Because they're still, well, maybe she's just trying to like pin this on him. Maybe she was just trying to set him up. She's still not here. And now we have Jennifer's Law, which is not only because of Jennifer Dulos, but from more than one Jennifer in our state that has died at the hands of their husbands. And, you know, in a way, I'd like to think that it also has something to do with me, because
I was thinking that, of course.
Well, I
mean, you're my only Jennifer. So.
Oh, but, you know, it's like, I really, when I saw in the paper, this is the headline, Connecticut Senate expands domestic violence law to include nonviolent coercive control measure prompted by Jennifer Barber Dulos' case. Nonviolent coercive control, because we could never prove that before. I would go, when I went to the police and said he had a gun, I didn't have any bruises on me. I didn't have anything on me, you know? So it's like, these are the things that happen to people. I just noticed there's like a thing underneath us. I didn't put that there, but that's kind of interesting. I guess there's some information on Jennifer Dulos. Did that happen?
We read it? Are there people, can everyone see that? I don't know.
Yeah, I think people can see that.
Okay.
But the Connecticut Senate voted overwhelmingly, it said. And to me, it feels like the tide is finally turning, that people are listening to women and abuse victims. And yes, it's still a far cry, because we definitely need to get rid of the statute of limitations. I agree with you. Because nobody feels comfortable to tell until they feel safe. And most people don't feel safe until something happens. Either they move away, they like get married and they have, you know, someone to keep them safe. They have something else going on. And this statute of limitations just lets people get away with shit, because you know how hard it is to come forward.
It's true. I mean, it's Pride Month. And, you know, I just saw an after school special called What If I'm Gay? I don't know. We just ended up watching it, me and my new husband of 6 months is very new, and you know, things are going well, but it's like a lot of tension because it's new and we're in close quarters. So we're watching these intense, you know, it's Pride Week. I sang at a gay wedding. Like, I understand that actually coming out as a survivor is hard, just because let's say you were coming out as bipolar. That's another word that gets weakened by overuse in society. Oh, you're just so bipolar today. No, yeah. I was like talking to the birds and they diagnosed me as bipolar. And now I have to take pills for the rest of my life because, you know, I was abused and nobody believed me or whatever the case may be, hypothetically, of course.
Same thing with PTSD. It's like everyone has PTSD. I have PTSD from last week because it was such a hard week. And I'm like, I wake up in the middle of the night and have the same dream about something that happened 20 years ago. And my husband has to wake me out of it and remind me I'm not back in that guy's house with his grandmother. Like, has to remind me that I'm not there. So is that what happened to you last week when you had a long work week? Because that's not what PTSD is for me. I actually have CPTSD, which is like PTSD basically on steroids, where I think all sorts of weird things from it. And we can talk about CPTSD as another topic for another day. It's when you have multiple traumas and it gets to a point where it finally just breaks, like something inside your brain one day just breaks. And like, I don't know, like I just became so paranoid over everything.
Something caused the two of us to sort of come out to each other. And that mutual trust first had to be established through music. We were in the same show. We got to talking. I don't know what happened, but Jen and I became friends enough that we realized we were the same bird. We had been treated the same way at some point in some way. So this is not an imaginary situation. We're not crazy. You know, we are not victims to the point where we're going to either burn or drown and you know, and then we're not a woman anymore or whatever. That's the way they used to do it in the good old days, right, Jen, you know? Yeah. In Salem. So, I mean, if I were to sum this up, I would say, you know, you're trusting your gut. You know you're in a bad situation. You know when somebody's not treating you well. And if you're unfortunate in the sense that you already have the CPTSD, did I get that straight?
Yeah.
There's a lot of letters. It's alphabet soup after a while. But, you know, the problems, they add on because it's unresolved. And it needs to be a society that really understands justice and is not a big payoff. This Jennifer's husband was rich. Once you're rich, hey, I might as well just hire every hooker in town and get really drunk and vomit everywhere. I mean, if I was really rich, that's not how I would handle my finances, okay? Maybe that makes me weird and not sane. But I mean, like, I think we should have a contest. Like, what would you do if you had $1 million? And then the police should really read carefully what these people would do with that money. And then we can arrest everybody.
There's so much that we're going to be talking about on this show. So it's kind of like today is the introduction, right? You get to meet me and Patty, see how we talk and stuff like that. But there's so much to talk about with each of these subjects. So it's like, you know, today we're kind of discussing a little bit about like all different parts of things. But like when we get really in depth with it and each particular thing, we're going to start bringing on other women that can tell their stories as well, because we didn't even start this podcast yet. Already had inbox with people writing to us asking to tell their stories. Because women are starting to finally feel safe and they're finally starting to feel like it's okay to tell these things and you're not going to be like stamped, oh, she's damaged. Oh, she's damaged. Because that's how it used to be. You didn't want to tell people these things happened to you because you were stupid somehow. That's why it happened. And so I think that, you know, you stick with us and you keep listening to our show and you're going to hear more stories and we're going to be showing you more of our art, because I write to take care of myself. I write to make sure that I get those feelings out on paper. And I know that Patty does the same thing. And like, sometimes if you read between the lines of our words, I mean, I'm working on a new album right now. And the guy made the mistake of saying, oh, I'm going to just play a really awesome little, what did he say? A little riff right here. He's like, it's just a good old fashioned love song, right? And I was like, did you listen to the words, sir? And then he was like, oh. I said, yeah, it sounds like a happy, upbeat love song, but there's a message in that love song that you better watch out, because this is what happened to the person in this song. And, you know, a lot of my own fight is in my songs. So if you're going to listen to it, you're going to see what pulled me out to be a survivor and what also pushed me into a hole where I thought I was going to drown.
Can't wait to hear your music more. So I'll pay more attention to the lyrics next time, too. Yes. I mean, I know that, like, we actually also, I want to announce that we have a CD with the woman who this podcast is named for, Skeleton Shelter. I didn't want to reveal her name on TV, just at the first time.
Yeah,
you know, when I first met her, she had some issues with, like, eating, and that's because of control a lot of times. You don't know if you want to, like, live or die, so the only thing you can control is what you eat or don't eat. And when I met her, she was, like, a popsicle stick. It's like, and I just felt so, oh, someone did that to you, you know? Like, and I didn't know that the same person was about to do it to me. It's not funny at all. So what is my point, I guess, is that everybody has some kind of thing that's hard to deal with in their life. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to fit in a box. But we're here to specifically deal with domestic violence. Like, there's a lot in Australia. I've been reading about all these. They put an art exhibit of all of those high-heeled shoes of the women who would have been alive in it. Like, and it spanned across a large
area.
It was very disturbing. And then if you took Me Too, I mean, because they have Me Too, and everybody's heard of Me Too, and I think a lot of people have heard of Rain, but sometimes you don't hear it anymore. It's like, okay, Me Too, and now what? So I'd like to be the now what.
Yeah, me too. I'd like to be.
You know, if you're a lawyer, let's think of some, you know, ways to fix the law so that the law enforcement makes more sense.
Or state representatives. I mean, you know.
Whoever can change it.
Anybody that's listening and, like, wants to help with victims of abuse. I mean, and it's not always women, but it is statistically mostly women. Okay, that's why we're sitting here speaking up. But we know that abuse victims are everyone. Everyone deals with this. So, you know, but I forget what my train of thought was right there. But, like, this is what this show is for. So we want to be able to spread awareness. And we're also going to be giving you resources. So, you know, if you're someone that is dealing with abuse right now and you need some help, you can write to us, you can send us a message, you can DM us, and we'll send you links for things that are happening in this state, because we do have some women that we work with that, once again, once we get going a little bit farther, they can reveal themselves to you and they can help with some resources and things like that. But we want to make sure that, you know, people are heard and that we get out this awareness of emotional abuse, because it really for so long has been that the other person was crazy. Everybody hears that and they don't understand that is a physical and mental thing that happens. And that's another subject we're going to talk about, is the physical thing that happens from domestic violence. And so many people have different things that happen, but a huge thing that happens is your digestive system. A lot of things happen to your digestive system because that's where we hold everything and we hold these feelings in there. And I've learned a lot through the therapy that I've been in, how much I have held for so long, like holding myself like this in, on eggshells, because I didn't want to get yelled at again, or I didn't want to get put into another situation where someone's, like, you know, basically lying about me to people. So I definitely, I'm looking forward to in the future, hopefully I can get some of my friends who are into holistic medicine and who work in mental health to come on and talk about those things, because people don't understand that it's not over the day that you leave. The day that you leave is the day that you finally are, your body might be safe, but now your mind has to, like, figure out how to get safe again and, like, let down all the walls that you put up. So,
well put.
I'm excited about that. Like, cause I don't know. Like, I've seen so many people, and I'm seeing a new person right now. And she literally, like, taught me some exercises the other day to try to teach my internal organs how to get back into place, because she's like, they're just all out of whack from you constantly being scared. And it makes sense, because every day I live with chronic pain in that area and it's debilitating for me. And there's nothing wrong with me according to doctors, but I know it's an emotional thing from all that abuse. And sometimes people even get, like, really sick, like they'll get lupus or different diseases from it. So hopefully if you're someone that's feeling those things, you'll start to understand that those also are connected. So we're going to teach you on here about the mind and body connection of abuse as well.
We made a CD. Jen and I collaborated musically. I think it's before the podcast idea, but we wanted to work together. And we did some covers, some favorites, I'm sure, of yours, as us. Crystal Gayle, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue. That's Jen doing a piano solo. Then we did Gold Dust Woman, which is a duet between us. What else? We did some originals. The woman who absolutely came back from skeletonhood and is the most resilient sister warrior that I've ever met, strongest woman, found me after I'd put out my first album. And like Jen was saying, the songs were absolutely my therapy. It was before I knew anything about ever getting a record deal or people hearing me or people knowing the songs. It was just for me purely to express and get it out of my body.
Yeah.
And she heard the song and she's like, that's our song. So she sings it. And that song is on our album, which is called Shattered Illusions. And that's a lyric from Goldust Woman. So yeah. That another song that's coming. We're putting that CD together right now. And like almost, you know, pretty much every proceed from that we can possibly donate or have donated is for this cause of domestic violence and everything connected to it. And the wellness of society, that includes everyone, male, female.
Yep, everyone.
And anything in between.
So it seems like we're probably about up because we started about 10 minutes late and they said we had about 45 minutes.
Okay.
So, I was thinking that I could play our song Gold Dust Woman as the ending today because I have it pulled up. I think all I have to do is share my screen. So let me just like check this. This is our first time running this podcast together. So if
we're ironing out a couple of technical things.
We're getting used to stuff because, you know, we're musicians. So every once in a while, we're going to play live for you. You know, we just might all of a sudden decide, oh, I forgot I had my microphone.
Ooh, I don't have one of those fancy.
I took out the fancy microphone so that I was gonna say like, this is gaslighting. And I forgot I was gonna do that before each definition. So, you know, we're gonna get our like gimmicks and stuff together because listen, this is serious. This is domestic violence, but this is also our life. So I can't walk around being sad every day of my life. And I can't walk around being serious every day of my life just because this happened to me. So we're going to be serious and talk about this stuff and tell people stories, but we're also going to show you the joy that we still have in life because that's what a survivor is and a thriver. Otherwise, we would just be like, I don't know, a little puddle of mud on the floor. So yeah, so let's see. I have a poem that I found today. So it seems like I'm having a hard time sharing the screen. So I will read the poem that I pulled out that I found that I wrote from 2018. I posted it earlier onto the page. I'm not sure if you saw it, but this poem defines a narcissist for me. And I will leave out some of the identifying information. Here we go. And then if you want, Patty, if you'd like to say something or play something, you could end it that way. But this is...
I'm just reading that Joe, they're saying we can go as long as we want. I mean, we'll go forever if we want.
Don't say that, Joe. You have no idea.
Don't tempt us. We're the other side of the narcissist mirror. Anyway, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I hear you preaching the Lord's Prayer, pretending you deserve to be heard, acting like you don't have all those lies in your pocket. Philosophy that makes you a false prophet. All you are is what you want others to see. Don't really have your own identity. Took on everything that was me, and now you change with every beat. I once had your 2.8 carats on my hand, but you couldn't live up to being a man. Gaslit me till the whole home ignited, told me stories that were only one-sided. I believed everything you said. I believed she was messed up in the head. Why would a mom give up her kids? But now I see it's because of what you did. You were the one living behind the mask, Pinocchio's profile and a throat full of gas. Locked me in closets if I came home too late. If I was 5 minutes past curfew, it was me you'd berate. I'm a grown-ass woman, yet you decided to think for me. Now you're just a shadow stuck living in infamy. I'll tell your story and I'll tell the truth. You won't feel the glory. You'll claim there's no proof. Yet we all can see through the mask of your entitled charade, changing your name like others change shades. You were Dio in Latin and Douglas in Italian, and now Doug, who's pretending to be a black man. I put you in the same category as Rachel and Becky. I'll hold those signs up high so it's for all to see. I know you keep us separate because you're afraid of what I'd tell. It's safe to make a bet that she lives the same hell. Emotional abuse is your MO. Narcissists got nothing to be sorry for. I'm sad that I believed you were something made of love. You love only yourself, and that's never enough.
Wow. I saw the first line of that poem, and I thought you were angry at me because I didn't know that it was a. I didn't understand what it was. Wow.
No, I would never be angry at you and post.
Well, it. You might get mad. You might get a little mad here and there. That's okay. Friends get mad at each other.
No,
I just saw it and I didn't understand that was part of the poem, and now yeah. I do. So,
yes,
very powerful. That's my point.
Although my favorite line of the whole entire poem is a mean one, but it just says Pinocchio's profile with a mouthful of gas. Because unfortunately, my ex had quite a big nose and he always had an issue with a very bad breath. So I just really like that.
Wow. Good for you, going all the way below Satan's.
I'm supposed to go higher, right? Not low.
No. The higher ground is taken by phonies. Nah, I don't even know what I just said, but because I consider myself a spiritual person. That means it's beyond words. It's more about just vibes and what do you sense? You know, what do you, I think in pictures, you know, I even directionally, like if it weren't for my GPS, cause I've only been in Pennsylvania a little while. I mean, if you spun me around and told me I was in Japan, I'd probably believe you. Because I have absolutely no natural sense of direction. I just wasn't born with it. In fact, my dad uses my mom as a reverse GPS. So whenever she goes out the elevator, he figures out where he's going by which way she goes.
Oh my God.
That's the truth. My family. It's cute. I mean, they're nice people, really good people.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, honestly, you know, that's an awesome poem, Jen. Thank you for sharing that with everyone. Because it's hard to share something so personal with so many people. We hope a lot of people. Here we have Sketchy Peasant. And he really appreciated your poem as well. So.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We want to hear from you guys. We want to know you're out there listening.
Yeah. And, you know, as we get going, because we can see all your comments. So, like, as we start doing more of these shows, so they're going to be every other week. So we'll see you again on the 20th, I think, of June. So every other week right now. But if in between you watch this and you have questions or comments, you can send it to us to our Facebook page. Then we'll get back to you as soon as we can. This week was very hectic because we were just learning everything and just opening everything up. So we haven't gotten back to the couple messages that we got, but we will be getting back to them. And we're hoping to bring you another show next time with maybe we'll do some live music. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay, cool.
I hope we can do it again.
And you know what? I'm open if anybody wants to. Once in a while, I'm open for you to send us a song suggestion. Are you open to that?
Yeah, like requests, absolutely.
Yeah, like if they send us a request and they're like, oh, hey, will you do this song? Because I always wanted to, you know.
And you should do that. We'll take requests like in advance and do really, really amazing things. And then we can take requests and fumble our way through things. Yeah. We can do either. I've done both, so.
Yeah, I figure then, like, you know, it's kind of personal. So if you guys, you know, there's a song that helped you through something, say that you're listening to this because you've gone through domestic violence and there's a song that you listen to all the time and you love that song and you're like, this song totally got me through it. Like, we'll sing it for you. I think that would be cool.
I think that's a great idea. I'm totally down for that.
Cool. All right.
And don't forget, chat rooms are really great. They saved me a lot of times. It's, you know, they don't, they're not like therapists, but there's somebody there and they can talk to you about whatever situation. They're going to believe you. They're going to listen and they're going to know that you're telling the truth. And that's important.
Definitely. Like on Facebook, there's a couple groups like you can go to. I know there's a narcissistic abuse awareness one that you can go on. And you're right. Like there are people that you can talk to that will be like, yeah, I understand that because that's why they're, you know, a part of that group. Because you don't need to be alone, especially in this day and age. Like Patty said, there should be someone up at any point, just like, you know, right somewhere.
Yeah, the first step is just to say to yourself, you know what, this isn't right. And then somehow it's amazing. It just, it becomes like a screwdriver to a a battery case. I don't know what I'm thinking, but I'm thinking of, because I always get toys for his kids, and I'm always like trying to open the battery case with the screwdriver. Anyway, whatever.
Well, that's okay. I think our listening audience should also know that we're both, I mean, I know I am, I don't know if you are, but like have like neurodivergent brains. So like I'll talk about something and then think about something else, and then it sort of comes in. And we both do that. So we usually talk for about 3 hours on the phone at a time.
It's yes, we skip around topics, but you know, I mean, obviously we're here for mostly the reason of just making things better for people and each other, just helping each other out, you know, making a better. It's like the flower power thing that never actually was real, but was only on the Time Life, and you felt robbed like that. Or something like that. That see, Jen and I have divergent neural experiences,
but we're actually here.
We're totally sane, and we're here for you
and for us because it helps us to talk about this.
Yeah, you're helping us here. Don't get that back.
It's like a dog rescue. Everyone says the dog rescued you. It's the same kind of thing, right?
So the same.
So I guess. We're going to log off here. Let's see. Can we can give them in the comments, we can write back to them, right? I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I know I can write to Joe.
So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to send you guys that are in the chat a link if you want to listen to our Gold Dust Woman, because I'm having a hard time getting it to show up on here to play here. But
just maybe a general email, you know, so that they have it handy, like skeletonshelter.gmail or whatever it is. I don't even know what it is.
Underneath us right now, facebook.com/.
Oh, it is already there.
And there's our podcast right down there. I mean, our Instagram. And then there's our website. And then our email is skeletonshelter@gmail.com. So you can write us there. All right. Oh. We already got a request, Holding Back the Years, Simply Red.
Oh, what a great song. Wow.
That is a good song.
I wasn't expecting such a gem, but that is a really good song.
All right, cool. Okay, Sketchy.
Holding Back My Ears.
You come back next time, and we'll try to make that happen for you.
Cool.
All right, well, this is our first podcast.
Thank you so much for being here, all of you.
Yes, thank you very much. And if you have anything that you want to know about, or you have questions or something you want us to cover, please send us a message and we'll make sure that we cover anything that you ask.
Okay. Right. And thank you, Joe. And also Joe's friend who helped Joe.
Yes, actually we're a part of Clovercrest Media. I don't have the information in front of me. I'm sure I'm sure I should be reading something, you know, how you do that. But it's Clovercrest Media is what we're a part of. So check us out on there and you'll be able to get to, I guess there's going to be a landing page where you can pick where you listen to us. So you can choose from like Apple Music or Spotify and stuff like that. Because once this one is archived, you'll be able to listen to it again. And then we'll have a page where all of them are. So you can just binge it. All right. Well,
all right, and Jen, if you want to call me after this, I'll be around for hours.
Okay. All right. I have to put my kid to bed because it's 9 o'clock, but I will text you in a little bit and see what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you all. Be safe out there.